There's a land that he's failing in. And by faith we can sit up. We can see the path for the Father waits over the way. To prepare us a dwelling place. What to prepare in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore. We shall sing on the beautiful shore. The melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more. But the sign of the blessing. In the sweet, by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful show. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful show. Oh, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise. Oh, the glorious gift of His love. And the blessing that hallow in the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful. One more. Oh, in the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful show. Oh, by and by,
when the morning comes,
when all the saints
of God have gathered
home, we will tell a story
how we overcome.
We will understand it better
by and by.
We are often tossed and driven
on the restless sea of diamonds.
Somber skies and howling tempests of succeed. Oh, in that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away,
we will understand better by and by.
Oh, my Lord,
by and by, when the morning comes,
we know
all the saints of
God are gathered home. We will tell the story.
We will understand it better by and by.
We are often destitute of the things that life demands.
What of food, what of shelter, testing hills and barren lands.
But we trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by.
By and by, when that morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcame, and we will understand it better
by and by. Oh, temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares. And our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless word or deed. And we
wonder why
we try to do
our
best. But we'll understand it better by and by. Hallelujah.
By and by, when the morning comes.
Whoa.
When all the saints of God have gathered home,
we will tell the story how we overcome,
and we will understand it better
by and by.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, one day we will be over there.
Amen.
Praise God. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Oh, we thank the Lord for what He has done for us.
Amen.
By and by, we will all be there. We'll meet over there. Praise God. We thank the Lord for tonight. The word of God says, when Jesus ascended on to high, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. Amen. And it will be a blessing all the time when a church can receive a fivefold ministry. It is to the glory of God. Amen. And it is for what purpose? He said it is for the perfecting of the saints.
Hallelujah.
And for the work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, as we are in one body, the Lord has gifts for all of us. And tonight, our precious brother Wilmore will be bringing us the word of exhortation. Praise God. And it won't be anything different because we have only one message. So it's the same message, the same word, the same God, the same faith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So before he comes, let's just bow down our heads and let's commit him to the hands of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that tonight you are here with us because your word tells us so, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in their midst, Lord. Father, as you said, when you went on high, you took captivity captive. And you gave men gifts, Lord. Father, how we just appreciate, Lord, to receive a fivefold ministry. Oh God, that is what the Lord can perfect the saints and for the working of the ministry and the edifying of the body. Tonight, O Lord, we commit our precious brother Wilmore into your hands. As Lord, you lead him, O God, by the word, O Lord. Father, just use him mightily tonight, O God. Let your anointing be upon him, O Lord Jesus. And even as we sit at your feet to hear your word, O God, let it fill every vacuum that is in our hearts and our lives, O God. Father, if even there is anyone sick amongst us, O God, even as your word comes, O Lord, let healing take place, Lord. Father, if there is any gloomy heart, you are the one that can take the gloomy heart and fill it with your glory, Lord. So tonight, Lord, we sit at your feet with all humility and, Father, with all expectation to hear your word, O God. We thank you, O God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, O God, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
By and by, when the morning comes, oh, the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcame.
By and by, oh, in all the saints of God I gathered home, we will tell the story how we will understand it better by and by.
By and by,
by and by.
Amen. Good evening, saints. We certainly want to thank the Lord for Sister Sharon. She's been on my prayers as well for a long time, and our God is an answering God.
Amen.
It's wonderful when you see him doing things among his children.
Amen.
Let's just turn in our Bibles to the book of James chapter 5. I'm desiring your prayers much tonight. I'm very nervous. Amen. The book of James chapter 5. Amen. I'll be reading just from verse 7 to verse 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let's turn again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. My heart almost sank on Sunday when Pastor said, let us turn to the book of Isaiah. I was like, oh, there's my message gone. But amen, all things work together for the good. Isaiah chapter 5, I'll be reading quite a number of verses there from verse 1. Here's the Lord speaking unto his prophet Isaiah in the days of Uzziah king. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Amen. Just the title of my message tonight is, what could have been done more? And the subject of it is the precious fruit. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. Father, just seeking for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips tonight, Lord. Father, let me put myself aside that you may speak, O God. And I pray for your anointing upon your people. Lord, let it be you speaking unto them that, amen. Father, someone could be helped somewhere. Amen. Father, Lord, help me, I pray, even this night. Lord, O God, it's not an easy thing to stand before your people. Amen. So I'm seeking for thy grace, Lord, that you'd strengthen me tonight, Lord. Amen. We thank you for the testimony of our sister, the thing that you have done for her. Lord, you are an answering God, and we thank you, Father, and glorify your name. Bless the saints that are not here with us, Lord, but are with us in spirit. We commit them to you, O God. May you now take control of everything here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. The Lord was speaking to the prophet Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 5 of a vineyard. The Lord had just likened himself to a husbandman that goes to plant a vineyard, and how he looks for the best piece of land that he can put a vineyard for that, and he just doesn't take the land and plant straight away. Like all you brothers and sisters know that when you go to plant something, you prepare the ground first. And the Lord had likened himself to such a husbandman who finds a piece of land and he goes and prepares it. He says that he fenced it around and gathered all the stones out from that, and he softened the ground and put a hedge around it. This is what he was likening himself unto. And even in these days you find that people, they tend even to put a scarecrow in the vineyard, just to keep even the birds away from the vineyard, because sometimes birds can come with the wrong kind of seed, and sometimes they take away the good seed. And we find in all this preparation that a man does for his garden, he has an expectation. He is looking for something from that vineyard. Like this husbandman would have gone and planted this vineyard because he was expecting to get a fruit out of it. He does it with patience and expectation, knowing that when the time comes for my vineyard to bear a fruit, it's going to give me a fruit that I want. So this is what God had likened himself to. And he went about preparing the vineyard, and then, but the time came when he wanted to receive something from this vineyard. And he went to the garden, and he found that there was not what he expected. There was only wild fruit. So we want to look at this, just looking at one place where the prophet spoke about Israel, that we can see what you did to them when they obeyed the word. And what you did to them when they disobeyed the word. And learn from that what we must do. So that's where I was coming from there, just to look at Israel, what they did, and God blessed them. And then look at what they didn't do, or where they disobeyed, and what he did to them. So that we too can learn how we may behave ourselves. Amen. So in this way of the vineyard, God had prepared for Israel. Israel was a nation that God chose. If we read in our Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, it speaks about God choosing this nation of Israel to be a special people. Verse 6 and 7 in Deuteronomy, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord, and the Lord thy God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the Lord of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." So the Lord set his eyes upon this nation for a purpose. He wanted them to be his special people. That's what he was expecting out of this nation. And for them to be his special people, he went about preparing for them. He just did not choose them and expect them to manifest what he wanted from them. But he went about preparing for them. And we'll find that in the Bible it speaks of how this nation of Israel was under bondage in the land of Egypt. And the Lord, with a mighty hand, he came down and delivered them from Pharaoh in Egypt. And we find when they were coming out of Israel, they came to a place where there was the Red Sea and they could not cross, and Pharaoh was behind them. And the Lord was all the time fighting for them, and he went and opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. And that was part of his preparation for his people. And they passed through the wilderness. They came to a place where after 40 years they eventually inherited the land. And he still continued to do things for them. He protected them from the nations round and about, and he gave them kings that were good kings, like King David and King Solomon, who had a gift of wisdom. That even up until today, we don't find men like that in the earth outside of Jesus Christ. All that was a preparation that God was doing. Even in their disobedience, when they were taken captive in Babylon, we find God coming down to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to testify that he is a living God and that his people, he still loves them. But every time he would come down to his garden to look for a fruit, he never did find the fruit that he was looking for. So we just want to look there in Isaiah again, chapter 1, to find out what kind of fruits the Lord did find when he came down to them. It speaks in Isaiah 1, verse 2 there that, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." God wanted Israel to manifest something. He wanted them to be an example to all the other nations, and a nation that would show that God is still a living God. He wanted them to be a nation that manifests his word and show that God is a good God. But here we find when he came down to look for that kind of a fruit, he never could find it. He only saw that they were rebellious against him. And this had been from the very beginning when God started dealing with Israel. Even in the wilderness, they went against God. They would never obey the word of God fully, but they always went against it. At one point, Moses just went into the mountain for 40 days. And quickly they turned their hearts against God, and they formed an image, and they were worshipping an image and saying, "This is your God that brought you out of Israel." That was disobedience. Yet the Lord forgave them, and he brought them to another place at Kadesh Barnea, and he told them, "I have given you the land. Go and take the land. Yet the people believed another group of people that had a different spirit from what God's spirit was. And they said, we cannot take this land. So as a result, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and God had to do away with that whole generation. Eventually, they came to a place where Joshua came up, and they eventually went into the land which God had given them. But still in that place, they never did obey the word of God fully. They would obey it to some extent and then still leave some of the people. God would say, go and destroy everything. And you find that King Saul would go and destroy, but then he would not destroy everything. He would leave some of the animals, and because to him it seemed good to keep it. Yet that was disobedience, and that is not what God had called them for. And then a prophet would come and speak to them. God told you to do this, and you did not do it, and they would repent again, and God, but still God never forsook them. Just like a man that has his garden, you can prepare your garden and plant, and then when the time for fruit comes, you find there is nothing in the garden. But you don't give up. You still go and prepare more, and because you are under expectation that eventually something will come up. And you do more for that garden, just like what the Lord did, that he continued to even do more preparation for the kingdom, for the children of Israel. We find that he gave them godly kings, like in these days of Isaiah, there was King Uzziah, and it speaks in the book of Chronicles that King Uzziah was a godly king. He had done that which was good in the eyes of the Lord. And God helped King Uzziah so much. In those days, the name of Uzziah was established. There was peace in the kingdom. And the people prospered in those days. The prophet speaks of how the economy blossomed, and they invented machines, and they done a lot of prosperity. But it was in those days that still there was oppression in the land. That was the time when God came down to look, and he could not find the fruit that he was looking for. He came in verse in Isaiah again, chapter 5, just in verse 6, says, verse 7, he says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. These were people that would have known better about oppression since they were slaves themselves. But they never could learn those lessons. They still continued to oppress one another, which is not what the Lord had called them for. And he found this oppression in the land. He found unrighteousness, which are things that God had not called for. And if we look at that parallel in our lives, we see that it also parallels with us in our lives, that just as much as God had chosen Israel, he also chose us. Because the Bible says in the book of Peter that we are a chosen people, a holy nation, that we are a royal priesthood. So God chose us. And it says even in Ephesians that before the foundation of the world, had God chosen us. And he chose us just the same as he chose Israel. But we see when God chose Israel, he had a purpose in choosing them. He wanted them to be an example to the rest of the nations. He wanted them to be an obedient nation, and then he would bless them. He wanted them, because all around Israel, they were just heathen nations. They did not know God. So God wanted to put amongst them a nation that is obedient to his word, for the people to see that there is a living God and that he will bless you when you obey his word. But Israel never came to that. They always wanted to be like the other nations. They always wanted to copy what the other nations are like. We find in one place when they had a prophet in the land, Samuel, they came to Samuel and said, we want a king. Your children, they don't follow the Lord like you do. Can you make us a king? And the Lord spoke to Samuel that, no, it is not you that they are denying. It is my word that they are going against. It was always their tendency to follow what other nations are like. Yet it was the very thing that God had chosen for, not to follow what other nations are like, but to be an example unto those other nations. Just as much as God has called us for a purpose, that we are not to follow what the world is like. We are to follow and obey God's word. And then the other people will see an example in us. But our tendency many times is to drift away from that and try to be like the world, which is contrary to what God had chosen us for. Let's just examine one place in the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in this place, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there it tells us in this verse that we are a chosen generation. God chose us, and it gives us next day in verse 10 that which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So God, he also chose us, just as much as he chose Israel. And in his choosing us, he had a purpose in choosing us. He was choosing us because he wants us to achieve a certain purpose in our lives. And many times when you don't know what purpose God has chosen you for, you are very likely to be deceived. Because you don't know your purpose, the devil can suggest to you something else which is not what you are called for. But it gives us there in the second part of that verse 9 that you should show forth the praises of him. That's the purpose that God chose us. In my verse, that word show, I wonder, could you put verse 9 there, Paul? Sorry. Yes, this word show, in my verse, it's marked and it's given there as to proclaim. So if I read using that word, it says that you should proclaim the praises of him who has called you. And to proclaim, I looked in the Bible, in the dictionary, it means to make known by praising or proclaiming. So God has called you and me to proclaim his word to the world, to be an example to everyone else. Yet many times we are trying to copy the people that we are supposed to be an example to. But that is not the purpose that God has called us for. And Brother Branham says anything that achieves the purpose that God put it here for, that thing has a part in his resurrection. And that which does not achieve the purpose he put it here for does not have a part in his resurrection. A flower is planted, it blossoms, that's the purpose God put it here for. And when it dies, it will resurrect again next season because it is achieving the purpose that God put it here for. And that is the same thing with us as well. God has put us here from before the foundation of the world. He was preparing for you and me. It's like a garden he is preparing. You find even all this that Israel went through was an example for us, the Bible says. So in his great preparation for you and me to manifest his word, God had to bring another nation and choose it as a type of us. Amen. Choose that nation, make it go through whatever it went through so that you and me can have an example today of how to conduct ourselves. To have an example today of how to obey his word. So God prepared all this time, yes, for Israel, but it was a preparation for you and me. He planted his garden, he prepared the earth, all the examples even of Noah in the Bible and the days of Noah. It was all a preparation for you and me to achieve our purpose in this day. And for him to even make sure he went further and came down himself from heaven, became a man among us, so that he can show us an example of how we are to obey his word. All that he went through was just for you and me. And so we find ourselves in this day that we are supposed to proclaim his word. And how do we proclaim the word of God? Amen. Just want to read another place. in the Bible. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we find in our lives that we yield our servants to produce something. And it says here in the Bible, to whom we yield our members, we are the servant of that. And if we yield our members to the word of God, we are going to produce a fruit of obedience unto God. And that in itself is a proclamation of our lives that we are proclaiming the word of God. But if we choose to yield ourselves to something that is unto death, that is not the word of God, because the word of God does not bring death. We are yielding ourselves something that to sin, which is not obedience. Therefore, that even shows what has called you. Because if you yield yourself to the devil, it shows the devil has called you. But if we yield our members to the word of God, that shows that it is him who has called us. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, it says, Jesus was speaking and he says, why do you call me Lord? And do not the things which I say. So there is a great link in our purpose and obedience unto God. If we don't obey his word, yet we call him Lord, Lord. Why then do we call him Lord? When instead of obeying the word of God, we are supposed to go on and obey the things of the world. Because the word of God tells us that we must proclaim his word. That is our purpose that God has called us for. So just want to read another quote here from the prophet. In the message, Why I'm Against Organized Religion, the prophet speaks, all right, to be born of the Spirit. Now to be born of the flesh and have wisdom of the world, the wisdom will obey its fleshly teacher. So if you have the wisdom of the world, is going to obey its fleshly teacher. To be born of the Spirit is to believe and obey the teaching of the Bible by the Holy Spirit. And a man that's born of the Spirit will obey God's word, regardless of what any tradition tells him. So really in our lives, when we look how God has prepared for us, some of us were born in Africa where people were pagan worshippers and we grew up under things like that. They were obeying, we were even committed to ancestral spirits when we grew up. But yet God, all that, he went beyond all that and he came and chose us even when we were under those things. And he brought us out of that and today we are sitting as sons and daughters of God. All that he did because he had a purpose in his heart. He is expecting something out of you. He's expecting something out of me. That's why he chose us. He did not just choose us so that we can just, well, come to church, go home. No, there's a purpose to which he has called us. And that purpose is to proclaim his word. We are supposed to proclaim his word to the nations about us, to the people about us, and have nothing to do with what the nations has, not to copy what the other nations do or what the other people do, but to be he's obedient to prove to the world that even though the devil in this day can come with great deceptions to deceive people and make them do things that you wouldn't normally do, yet God has been so merciful to us that he has been preparing all this time because he knew that you and me will be in this day and that in this day there will be such great deception. But he has prepared and he is under expectation that he will receive that special fruit that he is waiting for him to come. Sorry, saints. I'm not used to speaking a lot, so my mouth is getting very dry. So he is expecting that we produce such a fruit of obedience. Today in the world you find these terrible sicknesses. And in the book of Isaiah, God said, I kept all those sicknesses away from you. You find in the world that the children, they are so disobedient to their parents. But for us, he has not given us disobedient children. He has given us children that are obedient. You find that in the world today, people die, kill themselves of heartbreak. The wife has left, or the husband has left with another woman. But the Lord has been merciful to us. He's given us good wives. He has given us good children, good husbands. All that is a preparation, preparing for us to produce that which is good, which is what he is expecting from us. So that's why he came to ask in the book of Isaiah that, what more could I have done for these people? What more could God have done for Israel, for them to produce that obedience that he was expecting? And the same question I could ask myself today. What more should God do for me before I can praise him? And what more should God do for me before I can my life can proclaim his word? He has given us good jobs. You go to the place of work and you hide that you are a Christian. But today you are giving a testimony that God has given me a job. Yet he gave you that job for a purpose, to go and proclaim his word in that place. But then you go there and you hide. They don't even know you are a Christian. What will you be doing on the weekend? I have a few friends for a barbecue. Why not say I'll be in church? Oh, you are a Christian. Yes, proclaim the word of God. That's what he has put you here for. Amen. So we want really to examine ourselves, that if God should come down to each and every one of us in our lives today and say, okay, Brother Pele and Sister Lily, I'm coming with you to your house today, himself, would you give excuses to say, oh Lord, come tomorrow, because there's things you want to remove from your house? Or is your family now proclaiming the word of God? Not only that, is your life itself proclaiming the word of God? Or you have to make excuses that the Lord has an appointment with you. Now, after church, I'll go with you to your house and sit down with you and see if I can find this fruit that I put you here for. Or are you going to say, oh Lord, maybe on Sunday after church? That would be a terrible thing, because we find in the book of Isaiah that the Lord went on to speak with his prophet and said, now you be the judge between me and my garden, and I will show you what I will do to this garden. He says, I'm going to remove the hedge that I put around it. That's his protection that he had put around Israel. God said, I'm going to remove it. And he said, I will command the clouds not to rain anymore upon this garden. And I will lay it waste. I will not prune it. Because any diligent farmer will come to his vineyard and remove the dead branches that don't bear any fruit. But God said, I'm not going to prune it. I will lay it waste, and I will command the clouds not to rain. That was the price of disobedience. Now, Israel never lost their covenant with God. Just like us, we will never lose our salvation with the Lord. But he saved you so that you may manifest his purpose. And he said, you obey my word, I will bless you. Yes, we are all Christians. God has saved us. But he has saved us for a purpose. And then we wonder, many times people get sick among us, we pray, and we don't know why they don't get healed. People pray, they don't get jobs. Is God not a living God that he cannot answer? God is still a living God. But his blessings, they come to us on certain conditions. We are supposed to manifest his purpose in our lives. Therefore, if we do his will, he's going to bless us with his blessings. He promised that he would bless Israel. If you follow my word, if you obey me, I will do this for you. If you turn against me, this is what will happen to you. This day I put before you a blessing and a curse. Choose what you will have. This is what the Lord had said unto Israel. But they always, whenever there was a blessing and they seem to be doing well in their lives, and Uzziah is the king, they are doing great things. Machines are being invented, just like in this day. iPhones and Galaxy phones. There's great inventions in the land. That's just the time when he came down to look. And we understand by the message that this is the time the Lord is, we are expecting him to come. And when he comes, he asked himself, will I find faith? When he comes to your life today, is he going to find praise? Or you are going just because, well, Brother Mike will be there, well, so maybe I have to go for him to see me. Or you are going because, this and that. No. Is your heart in it? Because we find before Uzziah king, there was another king, his father. Can't remember right now his name. But it says in the Bible that he also did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But not with all his heart. So you can still do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. It is nice and a good thing to come to church. It is a good thing to sing his praises. But is your heart in it? Because when your heart is not into something, that is when you can be shaken like a reed. Because all it takes is for someone who can speak better than maybe Pastor Andrew and come to you and say, this, and then look, you are this way today, tomorrow you are that. You don't know where you are standing because your heart is not exactly in what you are doing. Just like the father of King Uzziah was like that. His heart was not in exactly all that he was doing. And we find that he died a terrible death. I think they killed him or something like that. Then they took his son and made him king. But this boy was a good king. God blessed him because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Yet the people in those days, because they were doing so well and everything seemed to be going well for Israel in those days, they forgot the ways of the Lord. And they were like the other people of the other nations. You find in Israel they even built temples unto Molech and sacrificing their own children in the fire. And you find that in our lives today, where we are supposed to keep our house as a sanctuary of the Lord, where we are supposed to keep our lives as the temple of the Lord, but you find in there as well another temple of Molech in your house, sacrificing your own children. We do that many times, don't we? Instead of sitting down with our children and teaching them the ways of the Lord, for the Lord said so, to teach our children his ways. Yet we build a temple of Molech in our houses and sacrifice our children upon that altar, teaching them things that are not supposed to be taught to children, showing them an example that is not supposed to be shown to children. You are sacrificing them. That is a seed you are planting in your children. And one day you are going to reap the harvest of that seed. So we really have to watch ourselves and ask ourselves this question, what more should the Lord do for me before I should serve him with all my heart? What more should he do for me before I should obey his word? Because we find that obedience is everything to a Christian. We are to obey God's word. We might not understand what God's word says, but we are to obey it. Amen. Then with his grace, he might reveal to you later on, this and this and this, but we must obey his word. Amen. And obedience is even linked to the Holy Spirit. The prophet says that full obedience to the word of God, it entitles you to the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is all what we want, is to obey his word. Without obedience, we will be pushed around and we don't know where we are standing, and it will not be a good example unto our children. So we must really examine ourselves and bring ourselves unto obedience. Amen. So those are the things that God has done for us in our lives. He has really blessed us. He's been good unto us. There's many testimonies that things that God has done in our lives. And Brother Andrew was saying that sometimes it might not be a miracle that God has done for you, but it's a wonder. You can see this is the hand of God in this, what he is doing for me. So why not acknowledge him when he has done that? Then many times we acknowledge him, yes, but our hearts still are not exactly into serving the Lord. Yes. I don't know what else God should do for us before we should say, yes, I want to give all my heart to God. I want to my life to proclaim God. But many times our lives don't proclaim exactly what God wants us to proclaim. Because I don't think so that gossip is something that God wants us to proclaim in our lives. I don't think so that backbiting or things like that are things that God wants to proclaim in our lives. He wants us to proclaim holiness. He wants us to proclaim his word, righteousness, kindness and brotherly kindness one to another. But many times that's not what he finds when he comes. Then we wonder why there's no blessing. But if we obey the word of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord are not far from us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My sermon is almost finished. So, it's just one other thing I had skipped was, even though all this happened to Israel, it was for a reason, it was for an example for us to learn. God let them go through all this so that we may look and see the consequences of disobedience. But God is not finished yet with Israel. We understand by the message that God is going to turn back again and start dealing with Israel. And it says in the Bible that in one day shall a nation be born. And God deals with Israel as a nation. So he's going to turn back to them. But all this has happened to them for our example, and he has blinded them even for your sake and for me. That's part of God's preparation for you and me. So what are you going to do now when he turns back to Israel? And you have not taken the chance now while it is still called today to produce, to proclaim that what God wants for you to produce. The thing that he put you here for. So he's going to turn back to Israel and it could be any time now. And that would be it for us, the Gentiles. So while it is still today, and you have examined yourselves, and you have seen in your life that, yes, God has done everything that he can for me. More than what he should even do. Imagine how he has used the prophet in our days. And he has preserved a message for us that no man could deceive us now. Imagine if you go to the other churches, what they are preaching on the pulpits and the things that they do in church, you'd almost feel sick. But God has been so merciful to us that he has preserved even a message for us on a tape. Yet that tape lies somewhere in your house and you never even hear it. The next thing you hear about Brother Branham is when you come to church. So how are we going then to produce what God wants us for? Because if you don't know your purpose, it's very hard to produce what you're supposed to produce. And that purpose, your purpose that he saved you, you find it in the tapes and the message. You find it in the Bible. You find even saints will leave their Bibles in the church to go home. Then they will see them next time they come to service. I don't think so that is right. We must have our Bibles with us and take them home with us and read them. Or you find it's just put in the car at the back. And it stays there until next service. But this is the word of God, which we must read. Because by reading, faith cometh by hearing. We must read the word of God. That's how you will know how to obey it. Imagine somebody says, I'm a Christian. They never read the word. They never listen to the message. How are they going to know what God wants of them? How are they going to be able to proclaim his word to the world today? But we must read our Bibles. We must read the message. It should be everything to us.
Hallelujah.
That's how you are going to get your faith. That's how you are going to know how to proclaim the word of God in your life. So we really want to thank the Lord for the things that he has done for us. There are many things that he has done for us. And he's all doing that because he has a purpose in his heart for you and me to proclaim his word in our lives. He has a purpose for you to produce a fruit for him. As James said, a precious fruit that he is waiting for. And therefore we must proclaim the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's just about my sermon. I hope that it has helped many of you. Brother Maxwell.
Lord. How many have enjoyed our precious brother? What else? What? Give me the topic again. He said what? What more could have been done? What do we expect the Lord to do again for us before we will serve him? Amen. The Lord has done so much for us. And from the scripture that he read, you see, now God is not asking us even to go and prepare a vineyard. Praise the Lord. Because God himself said, I am the husbandman. And Christ is what? He's the vine. And the only thing we need to do is to abide in the vine. Amen. And then we begin to bear the fruits. The fruits is the proclamation. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful message. Praise God. Come and give us one song so that we just sing and we pray. God bless you, precious brother. Amen. God said, I am the husbandman. And Christ says, I am the vine. See, I am the vine and God is the husbandman. And we got to be what? We got to abide in the vine. So that when he comes, he will see our fruits. That's our proclamation. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful message. What else do you want the Lord to do again? Amen. We have a prayer request here. So Brother Pelly is asking the saints to put his father in prayer as he's he's leaving the Congo today to Brussels, Belgium. Amen. The father is taking a flight from Congo to Belgium today, and let's remember the father in prayer that he goes through Jenny Mercy's. Amen. So let's sing one song and then we enter into a short prayer. Praise God.
Going on, going on.
You are a temple.
No, we not.
You are a temple.
Hallelujah.
No, we not. You are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, no, we not.
You are a temple.
Full of praise, full of power, full of glory.
I am a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Full of praise, full of power, full of glory.
I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know, I am a temple.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I know.
You are a temple of God.
I am the temple.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, I know.
You are the temple of God. In you dwells the Almighty God.
Full of praise.
Yes, I know I am the temple. Yes, I
As
know.
As you say, yes, you know yourself.
Yes, I know I am.
Believe it. Believe
yes,
that
I
you
know.
Are a temple.
Yes, I know. Yes,
a temple
I know.
Of God.
I am a temple.
Where there is no blemish.
I am the temple.
There is no spot. There is no wrinkle. But a holy
yes,
temple
I
of
know.
God.
Yes, I know.
I am a temple.
Yes, I know.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I believe
I
that I am a temple
yes,
of God.
Yes, I know.
Oh, do you believe it or no?
Oh,
I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know.
I am a temple. Yes,
I know.
Yes, I know. I am a temple.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
I am a temple.
I am a temple.
Oh, my brother, let us just thank him for this evening. Let's just all praise his name and say, Lord, we thank you, O God, that you are the vine and we are the branches. That Lord Jesus, through you, O God, we are bearing fruits to glorify your name. To proclaim that of the truth you are our God. Just say, Lord, we thank you for the message. We thank you for the prophet. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. That, Lord, you have made yourself a living in our life. That the Lord said, I will live and walk in those temples. Look at that heavenly God, the Almighty God, who says his throne, heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. Such an almighty God, but says he finds a place in your heart to live, that you are his temple. Oh, say, Lord, I thank you, oh God. Tell the Lord that, Lord, every part of my life, I surrender to you, O God. My soul, my heart, my spirit, my thoughts, my mind. Lord, come dwell in. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Bring him to a point, Lord, where he discovered us, Lord. Be realized, Lord. Lord, it's your tender hand, Lord, Savior. And we pray for Lord, Savior, for and the Tony, Lord. For his money, Lord. We pray for his son, Baptist, Lord, Savior. We pray for his daughter, Lord, his wife, Lord. We pray for Lord, Savior, his nephews, Lord, and Mrs. Lord. We pray for that, Lord, Savior, his Lord, who's not well, Lord, Savior. We pray, Lord, Savior, for our sins, Lord, Savior, wife, Lord.
Let us hear the word of God upon which we are standing tonight to claim healing for our brother. That's from Matthew 8, reading from 14. We are standing on this word of God and claiming total healing and deliverance for our brother. Matthew 8, reading from the 14th verse. And he said, and when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Amen. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. That Jesus is here tonight, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, oh hallelujah, himself took our infirmities and bare all, not some, bare all our sicknesses. Tonight, Lord, we stand upon this word, knowing that you are the same God, you changeth not, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and claim healing upon the basis of your word. that yourself, you yourself, took our infirmities. Because you are the only one we can touch with our infirmities, Lord. And you are the one who bear all our sicknesses, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we lift up our precious brother. The Lord Jesus bear that sickness tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. How many believe?
Amen.
Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Shall we all just thank him that our brother is healed? Let's all thank him that our precious father will also, his journey, the Lord has made it for us. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's all, everybody just thank God. Say, Lord, we thank you that you have answered our prayer tonight. Even all that we have not requested. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We give you the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us one song and then come to a close. Give us one song.
Made for all the prayer requests that was present before thee. There's no more that can be added out to it. We believe it. And we know that you are an answering God.
Hallelujah.
We want you to depart with us from this place fully with thy instruction. That something good could happen to our life. That when we leave this place, we made it upon thy word. And the glory will be given unto thee. We commit all at thy hand.
Amen.
In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give us just one song.
What a friend we have in Jesus, Lord.
Our sins and griefs to
bear. What a privilege to carry. To God in, oh, oh, at peace we often, oh, bed, oh. what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry breathing to God in prayer. Every trials and temptation, oh, is the trouble, yeah. Is there trouble anyway? It should never be discouraged. Give to the Lord in, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we just find a friend so, so faithful? Take it to the Lord in, take it to the Lord in prayer. To the Lord, oh, are you weak? Are you weak and heavy laden? Come, but with the Lord of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. Get to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.